I was at the convocation for clergy, which is mandatory, and I came back with a gift of a cold there. So, actually, it broke last night, so I'm actually better today. Praise the Lord. This gospel is intriguing on many levels. There's a lot more to this than meets the eye. Normally, I like to stay for the parish missions, but with all the digging going on around the rectory, it was a good week to be gone. Frankly, they're putting the sewer in right by my house, and everything's shaking in there. So I went down to Klamath Falls to visit a friend, and then we were going to did some reading and things, and we were going to go to Crater Lake. It had snowed up there, and then they plowed it, and I thought, how cool is that, you know, Crater Lake with snow. Only one problem. I planned to go on Tuesday. What happened Tuesday? Yeah. Anybody else get caught with that? Not be able to get into a national park? One, two, three. I know about you two. Yeah, so anyway, so as I'm going on the journey and find this out, what do you think I said? Well, that's a matter for confession, but actually, I said, you know, maybe it was a bit of a miracle. I just said, praise the Lord, we'll do something else. You know, a lot of people had a lot worse experiences with this, coming over from Europe and not being able to get in and things. And when our plans change or we have some kind of a tragedy or disaster, it's very hard to be thankful at the time. But you look back and realize that you've been through something, that there were gifts that were offered to us, or that God answers our prayers, but not in the time zone that we're in. It takes a while to see what God is doing in our lives. This gathering is so interesting because what you've got here, of course, is 9 Jews and 1 Samaritan. Or at least there may have been more than 1 Samaritan, but Jews and Samaritans were together. This is about as miraculous as having Republicans and Democrats sit down and discuss the budget, right? You know, that's where we're at right now, isn't it? And this kind of dysfunction is what you would see. These are two political parties, and they hated each other. And they would not have come together for any reason except a huge tragedy. Their leprosy made them overcome their differences. I remember, too, you know, that the last time we had real bipartisan, something really bipartisan I can remember, was after September 11th, when both parties stood on the steps of the Capitol and prayed. And I didn't notice the ACLU complaining about it either. And it was a national tragedy that brought us all together for a while. And this is the thing. This leprosy brought these people together, and their tragedy brought them to Jesus. They would not have sought Jesus out if they didn't have this deficit. So it worked to their good. So the lepers are being obedient. They're following the law. The law laid out that they could not work. They couldn't go to synagogue. They had to beg for alms. They had to stay apart from everyone. It was a hygiene thing. So they stand at a distance and call out, Jesus, have pity on us. They're not asking for money this time. They're asking instead for a miracle. This is a symbol of all of humanity. You know, we all are at a distance from God. We can't see him. We don't know him except what he reveals to us. He's very real, but the first initiative has to come from God. Yet, many of us, we seek God. We ask God to have pity on us. And he listens to us. We can see him in our faith. All of us calling out like lepers, in a sense. We all have something that we feel separates us from God. It's a sin. And the Lord has pity on us. And these lepers, then they go off, and Jesus says to them, go and see the priests. Go and show yourself to the priest. That's another Levitical law, that a leper must show themselves to the priests to diagnose whether they have to be apart. They were looking for a healing. What's missing in this story at this point? There's no healing. They get sent off without a healing. If I was that leper, I'd be very disappointed. We went out, we found where Jesus was, we came as a group, we didn't come near him, we did everything right. He says, go show yourself to the priest. They don't do anything. So they go off in obedience, but they're walking off with leprosy. Sometime on the journey, they look down and everything is gone. See, it happened on the journey. They didn't have an instantaneous healing. God required them to do something first. They had to do their part. They had to be obedient. They had to have faith that Jesus would do something. Were they disappointed? I'm sure they were. But that's the way God operates so often in our lives, is that God doesn't heal things right away, but in his own time. I use an iPhone, and my calendar stopped working, and I've been working for 2 weeks to get it going. I've tried everything. I'm pretty savvy with this stuff. And one of the priest friends was helping me down at the convocation. And I said, God, you know, I need this. And he just kind of a blank wall with God. Not that it's his fault, but I thought he might be part of the solution, you know. And so last night I got on the phone with Apple, and I was on for 2 hours. Had a nice conversation with this lady. And you know what? It got fixed by the grace of God. And afterward I said, you know, Lord, you did answer my prayer, but it took 2 weeks. Thanks a lot. It's a start, huh? I recognized that God had a plan. I had to learn something. And I had to do something. He could have done something from heaven. It could have just clicked on. But I had to do my bit. And God directed me to the right thing. It was a very strange issue. That's a small thing. We often see God in the rearview mirror. And the thing is, God will heal us on the journey. He doesn't answer our prayers right away. But I used to keep a journal of things that God, I asked the Lord for, and I kept it for years. And you find one after the other gets checked off, but sometimes it takes a long time. Asked God in the 11th grade to become a priest. Became one at 40. See what I mean? A lot of life happened in between there. And the Lord invites us to become when we notice he's done something, do we say thanks, or we've forgotten we asked? 9 of them forgot that they asked. 1 came back. That's the way it is. God is always doing these things, and instead of looking at all the blessings he gave me, I could say, oh yeah, but what about Crater Lake, Lord? It depends on our perspective. One of the more interesting things I did, I promised everybody I'd stick this in my homily. This last weekend when Father McGrann was here, I went to a reunion of American airline agents in Los Angeles. Well, I thought, why am I going to this? I only probably know 10 people out of the 500 showed up from all over the country. And I went there anyway, just because it sounded interesting. And my gosh, every other person I met, I knew them by their face. It was like a reunion, you know. And I just had the best time there. National media covered it and stuff. And we just had a great time. And I thought, my gosh, you know, the first 5 years I worked there, I was miserable. And the second half, I loved what I did. We were saying, even if we were miserable, we wanted to be with each other. We were proud of what we were doing. We were proud of our company. And it was a great place to work, you know. And I said, you know, only in the rearview mirror could I see how many graces I received during those 10 years. I didn't know it at the time. It was exactly the perfect thing. And yet, at the time, I moaned and groaned and complained. But, you know, as you go through life, occasionally God will give us a rearview mirror to see, you know, this was a terrible thing that happened. You know, my office closed there. But God really did something great here. And if I didn't thank you then, at least I can thank you now. So often, like the lepers, we're on the journey home, and we realize that God had done something and is still doing something. And he waits to be thanked. You know, there's nothing worse than giving people gifts and then you never hear from them at all. It doesn't make you want to keep giving. Well, God is not like that, but he does want us to be thankful, and it opens the floodgates of grace. If you're like me, sometimes it's hard to be thankful at times. I'm not thankful for this cold I'm getting over, but, you know, the Lord said, hey, you haven't got laryngitis, have you? Well, after having 100 cases of it, that's something. You know, it takes a while to realize, yes, I have a cold. Welcome to the human race, right? But at the same time, have you forgotten what I've done for you? Yes, Lord, I did. Have you forgotten what I've done for you? Does he need to do anything else? You know, have you been thankful for his death, for your salvation? Sorry, Lord, I took you for granted. Sorry, Mom and Dad, I took you for granted. You know, this is the way it is. It's the way human beings are. So today is a day not only to reflect on being thankful, but to notice on the journey, as we look back, how has God been working in my life? Can I give thanks for the movements God has done? Because we're all like lepers, standing at a distance from God, calling out to Him, have pity on us. He sees, He hears, He responds, but He often takes His time. You have to do your due diligence. He wants you to do something, and while you're in the midst of doing it, suddenly you find God has done everything else. Thank God for all these gospel stories that teach us the way God works in our lives.